tell you, man, my God, every morning you're waking up and somebody else is passing away that was part of the childhood, at least of my childhood. I don't know about Mac's childhood anymore because he's got 20 years before me or after me, I should say, on that. But my God, every morning you're waking up and somebody is dying. And yesterday it was Hulk Hogan. I mean, you talk about a week where the children of the 80s, like myself, we've basically lost our entire cast of characters that passed away this week. And Hulk Hogan was the latest one to go. Obviously, earlier in the week, we had Malcolm Jamal Warner pass away. And then middle of the week, we had Ozzy Osbourne pass away. And then yesterday, we have Hulk Hogan pass away at the ripe old age of 71. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, of all these celebrity deaths, man, which one has hit you the most? And then Chuck Mangione dies yesterday. And of course, you know, who could create a number one hit with just a trumpet? Chuck Mangione is that guy. And so he died yesterday at 81 years old. I would have had Chuck already pass, but that's just me. But I mean, it's been one hell of a week when it comes to these celebrity deaths, and you start to think to yourself, my God, life is going really damn fast, man. Life has sped up this week for a lot of us, I think, that grew up in the 80s. You know, Cliff Huxtable's kid dies, Hulk Hogan dies, one of the great rock artists of all time passes away. And here we sit going, my goodness, man, life is a very, 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 very short period of time. And you need to enjoy every minute of it because you never know when it's going to happen. Did the Hulk Hogan death hit you yesterday, or are you kind of aged out of that Hulk Hogan era where he was a big thing for your childhood?
He wasn't a big thing for my childhood, but it hit me. I mean, he's a pop culture icon. Everyone knows him, right? Everyone knows who that is in the line of kind of what we talked about with Ozzy Osbourne, right? You know, even if you don't know him, you know him.
Yeah.
Hannah was like, Hulk Hogan? She just didn't really know. She was like, oh, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, you know, I've seen him in these movies and this stuff. So, yeah, I'd say even if you don't know him, you probably know him. Yeah. So, yeah. But I would say, I mean, which celebrity death hit you the hardest? Ozzy Osbourne, because I love his music.
You love his music. And I think that's kind of the one for me as well. I wasn't a wrestling fan growing up. I was one of those households where my parents were like, you're not going to watch wrestling. It's fake. I'm like, okay, fine. And I never really got into, you know, the wrestling side of things. But I know how powerful and important Hulk Hogan was how important Hulk Hogan was. And I look at Hulk Hogan, and I think as we're kind of in this time zone or time frame, I guess you could say, of declaring every athlete the most important and the best of all time, because that's what ESPN has led us to believe we need to do all the time. Hulk Hogan, though, is probably the most important wrestler of all time. And you could say, and I hate to get it like, you know, this kind of, you know, conversation going, because I know it's an entertainment and it's not, you know, sports, but sports is becoming more and more about entertainment. I think you're seeing more and more of the WWE, if you will, in sports today than maybe you have in the past. And that's because sports needs to do all of that kind of stuff. I told you, I talked to a big leaguer a couple of weeks ago about the entertainment side of things. He's like, yeah, I know, we're entertainers. We've got to put on a show. The Savannah Bananas putting on a show. You know, you're starting to see more and more of that showmanship coming now in professional sports, whether it's bat flips, whether it's celebrations, whether it's dances after touchdowns, interceptions. You know, guys want to show their personality and entertain, and that's what the WWE and WWF at the time were all about. It was entertainment. And I think most people, for the most part, unless you were, you know, drinking from the Kool-Aid, you knew that was fake. You knew it wasn't real, but you knew it was entertainment, and you appreciated it, and you loved it for the storylines, and you loved it for the entertainment value, and you loved it for everything that it was, even though deep down inside you knew this was all staged. It was all scripted, as I've used the term before, when it comes to a lot of things in professional sports. But I think the WWE, WWF, and Hulk Hogan kind of showed us a pattern of what sports can be and what sports is all about. And I think there was a window there for a long time where American professional sports forgot about the entertainment side of things and forgot to entertain its fans and forgot to give us what we wanted, the celebrations, the fun, and all of that. And wrestling always provided all of that fun. And so I think, look, Hulk Hogan to me will go down as the most important wrestler of all time because Mac, as you said, a pop culture icon. And, you know, my kids are you know, high school age right now. And I said, you guys know who Hulk Hogan is? And they went, no. And I showed them the picture. Like, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Okay, I know who that guy is. Yeah, I've seen him before. And, you know, he came onto the scene when kind of wrestling was in that, you know, phase of needing somebody to come onto the scene. He came on the scene as a hero, left as a heel, switched leagues all the time. It was always in the headlines, was always a guy that was kind of making noise and becoming one of the more popular wrestlers. And he really got people, you know, kind of, you know, attached to wrestling. And like I said, I wasn't a wrestling fan growing up, but everybody knew who Hulk Hogan was because he was that pop culture icon. and really kind of ahead of his time in what he was trying to do. And when you look back at some of the things that Hulk Hogan was able to do, I think the most important thing that you take away, and one of the more significant, if you will, sporting events of my lifetime anyway, is when he beats Andre the Giant. I mean, that's a big-time deal at WrestleMania up in Detroit when he beats Andre the Giant and finally kind of arrives on the scene. And I was reading something about that, you know, that match yesterday, and Hulk Hogan was saying, like, we had the script figured out. We knew what was going to happen. I just didn't know if Andre the Giant was going to follow through with the script and allow me to kind of take over the mantle in that situation. And obviously we know what happened. He beats Andre the Giant and here we sit and Hulk Hogan, you know, arrives on the scene. But it was so important for that period of time, for that wrestler, for that entity, for that group to have somebody like Hulk Hogan emerge that could kind of go across all the genres and touch everybody, every generation, every, you know, man, woman, and child knew who Hulk Hogan was. He was that transcendent figure that I think sports truly needs when you're not one of the big sports. But even the big sports need those transcendent figures right now. The Patrick Mahomeses, the Travis Kelces of the world. You look at baseball, the Shohei Ohtanis of the world. You look around, you know, other sports, and you have those transcendent players that become more and bigger than the sport. I mean, we're seeing it in the WNBA right now with Caitlin Clark. She has transcended that sport. And comparing the WWE in its infancy stages is like where the WNBA is right now in those infancy stages that is looking to grow and looking to, you know, kind of sprint now. The WNBA has been crawling and walking, and now they're ready to start running because they have the superstars like Caitlin Clark. And that's where the WWE was back in the day. They were there. They were on the scene. People knew about them. Then Hulk Hogan came onto the scene and he transformed everything. And sometimes you have these transformable, if you will, as a word, athletes that come onto the scene. And all of a sudden, there's that resentment that builds up, again, as we're seeing in the WNBA. And I'm sure there was resentment for Hulk Hogan at the time. But people realized if you embrace Hulk Hogan and you embrace what's going on with him, we're all going to be good for it and we're all going to make money. And that's what happened. That WWE league, however you want to describe it, it grew, it took off, it became huge. They're selling out arenas for 100,000 people to go watch, you know, WWE Raw or whatever the hell it is that they have every single year. People want to be part of that. They're in the stadiums. They're selling out Jerry World multiple nights in a row. And that's why people want to build dome stadiums. And it's always about hosting WWE events. WWF events is what people always say. Well, we could never have a WWF event here, or WWE event here, if we don't have the dome stadium. And you look at these dome stadiums, they get 100,000 people to watch this. Hulk Hogan had a major impact on that sport. As big as any quote-unquote athlete has had on a sport, Hulk Hogan did. And so when he passed away yesterday, part of your childhood goes away, part of a legend of how to do it and how to grow a brand grows away. Hulk Hogan was more about wrestling. He was about brands. He was about growing brands. He was about entertaining, and he did all that. And you can say what you want about his out-of-the-ring stuff. I'm not going to get into any of that. But Hulk Hogan, from an on-the-ring, in-the-ring standpoint, was a pioneer, and this dude was really, truly ahead of his time.
Yeah, you got to separate some of the art from the artist and just look right at what Hulk Hogan did in the wrestling world, and it was remarkable. I mean, he changed the sport, like you said. He was the beginning of something new for mm-hmm. wrestling. He was able to kind of break that fourth wall almost with that wrestling. With just on TV, too, I watched the Vince McMahon documentary, and obviously it covers a lot of Hulk Hogan and his sure. leaving the WWF and him coming back and him and Vince's relationship. And just Vince talks about his ability to connect with the audience member that's there in person live, mm-hmm. which a lot of wrestlers can do, a lot of performers can do, but the ability to connect with them over the TV, Hulk Hogan, and Vince goes into it pretty eloquently, just about how he's able to grasp that viewer over the television. It was really cool to watch, and I mean, even just watching reruns, you're into it. You're like, damn, what's he going to say next? What's he going to do? I'm like, I'm rooting for him, right? Like, he had that sort of ability to get you locked into what he was saying, even if it was nonsense, which it is.
Right, it is. And you know, to this day, everybody walks around and goes, brother, you know, brother. Like yeah. there are just lines that you take from Hulk Hogan, you know, like his walkout song, I am a real American, you know, like everybody knows that song. And they even turned it into a Blaine Gabbert song back in the day. So very, very, very upsetting week, I think, for a lot of us children of the 80s with Ozzy and now Hulk Hogan passing away. And of course, Malcolm Jamal Warner earlier in the week, and then I had thrown Chuck Mangione yesterday too, out of like nowhere. They say celebrity deaths come in threes, right? We've had four celebrity deaths this week here, you know, in the United States. So who knows what's going on? But man, the celebrities, the kids we grew up watching, the guys we grew up watching in the 80s, they're dissipating like the snow, man. So we've
it's
got to kind of keep thinking about it. And, you know, it's just it's weird how like we take things for granted, I guess, you know. Was anybody thinking about Ozzy Osbourne or Hulk Hogan this week or even Malcolm Jamal Warner? Like, when was the last time you thought about the Cosby Show, right? So, like, nobody's thinking about this, and then all of a sudden these guys are dying, and you're like, damn, I had forgot about him. I forgot about this person. About that person. And so it's just it's a cycle of life, man. What are you going to do, right?
Brings back a flood of memories, too, that you may have not associated with that person or with what they did in their life, too. Ozzy Osbourne, I mean, we didn't even get to talk about how he had his last performance just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like he wanted to die on stage, man. I mean, he just wanted to do everything he could to get back out there. And his last performance was so kick-ass. So that was cool that he got to do that one last time before he passed as well. And I mean, even Hulk Hogan performing up until the last couple of years and still making people entertained. So doing what they loved until the end. That's cool.
Yeah, that absolutely is cool. Got a lot to get to today. Obviously, the trade deadline is looming for the Kansas City Royals. We'll tell you what the latest is coming up with that all morning long. We've got obviously Chiefs camp going on. We'll keep you updated and abreast on everything that's going on up there in St. Joe. And don't forget to join us 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenahu football. And here's the other thing that we want you to do. We want you to follow Hollywood Casino on all the socials. You'll have an opportunity to win some great prizes from Hollywood Casino as well. You can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and X, and you can enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 in Penn Cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you got to follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and X. That's Hollywood Casino and Cody and Gold broadcasting live along with The Drive, and they're going to be giving away some Chiefs Colts tickets as well. So you'll have the opportunity to enter to win those at Hollywood Casino also. So coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, Chiefsaholic has a buddy. We'll tell you who next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty is off for the rest of the week. That is today. We have reached Friday. He'll be back on Monday. Mac is in as well as we are kind of you know, coasting, I guess you could say.
Cruising
towards the weekend. And it's going to be a rainy one, it looks like, in the area today and maybe even tomorrow. But Sunday should be nice.
Too?
Yeah, it's supposed to be nasty all weekend long, I guess, up
what?
Here. So yeah, it's going to be a washout.
Not
it looks
for the Royals
like.
Game, though, right?
I'm not a meteorologist. I'm just looking at the AccuWeather forecast. It looks like rain, you know, for the next couple of days. But big weekend series for the Royals. We'll get into that coming up in a couple of minutes. But yesterday, I don't know about you, dude. I was just captivated with Chuck E. Cheese getting arrested yesterday.
Like, that was amazing.
I mean, the picture of him escorted out by the cops in the Chuck E. Cheese, you know, rat suit, leaving the pizzeria yesterday.
Rat head on and everything.
and the rat head was like bowed down, like in disgust, like he knew that he had done, you know, clearly something wrong in that situation. And then there were the videos outside of the Chuck E. Cheese where they took the hat off the guy and he was uncovered and they stuck him in the back of the car, because essentially what this guy was doing, he was thieving. He was like billing people's credit cards. Like, some woman said, I had an extra $100 charge on there from a place that I didn't go to, never called, didn't know what it was about. And they traced it back to this rat, literally, at Chuck E. Cheese, going out there and, you know, running people's credit cards. When he would get their cards to run them for food or whatever, he was running a couple of extra things for himself, you know, whether he was calling, you know, whoever, Amazon, let's just use for an example, and billing stuff and getting stuff delivered for himself. He was billing it to other people. And these people are like, I don't know what these charges are. And it ended up being like 13 different charges or something like that, that they were able to uncover and kind of trace back to him. And I saw it yesterday. And the first thing I think of is like Chiefsaholic, right? Like, Chiefsaholic now has a friend in jail, right? You know, you've got a whatever that was, running around stealing money from the teachers union. And then you have this guy out here, you know, running around stealing from people at Chuck E. Cheese. And so you got two creeps, two jerks, two losers.
A wolf and a rat.
Yeah, that can absolutely spend some time together behind bars. parks. I did see some stuff yesterday about, oh my God, why are they doing this in front of the children inside Chuck E. Cheese? And I always think to myself, number one, it's not the world's job to kind of police your children, right? If something happens, you need to be a parent, step up, tell them about what's going on, and tell them what's right or wrong. It's up to you as a parent to educate your children. It's not society's problem, okay? So if this guy's stealing a Chuck E. Cheese, it's not about what are the children going to say. I think it's a great lesson for children. I really do. I think you can look at that and say, see, this is what happens when you don't obey the law. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're going to get in trouble. And it's a great learning lesson. Parents who kind of, you know, say, oh, it's about the children or what will the children say? You're not doing your job as a parent, because if you have to ask those questions, that means you're not parenting in the home. Because if something like that happens, I know how it works at our house, and I know how it worked when I was a child. We talked to our parents about it. You know, what did you see? What happened there? What did you like? What didn't you like? We have those conversations. You know, our kids come to us all the time. We talk about stuff. I mean, we talk about stuff probably at our house we probably shouldn't talk about. But you know what? It's life, and we'd rather educate our children and be open with them than try to hide stuff. This is the reality, man. There are bad people in this world, right? And I think it's good for the kids to see there are bad people everywhere. And even the guy in the rat suit at Chuck E. Cheese, he can creep you anyway. But, you know, like that, there are bad people everywhere. And you have to understand that bad people are going to be in your life. And you have to find a way to avoid those bad people and not let those bad people have an impact on you. So I think it's a great learning experience for those kids that are in there, because they'll never forget it. And I would guarantee you a lot of those kids that were in Chuck E. Cheese are like, I don't think I'm going to steal. They're going to come in and arrest me, you know?
Just picturing you with your like 4-year-old who's crying, what's going on, daddy? Well, this is a life lesson.
Yeah.
You're just making it a thing. I mean, I think if you're 7 or 8, I think that's very fair. But I think if you're 3 or 4, but also at the same time,
3 or 4, you don't really know what's going on.
You don't know
on,
what's
though.
Happening. Yeah, no, you're clue. Not even like traumatized by that. Also, like, they didn't tackle the guy. They didn't pull out their weapons.
No.
I mean, Jesus, he committed a crime. They need to arrest him. I don't know what you want to do. I don't think it's a problem with that. I agree with you. I mean, it's like, when you take your kids to a Chiefs game, you're like, oh my gosh, a curse word. You're like, I mean, there's 60 whatever thousand other people here. Like, yeah, there's going to be a curse word or maybe a song with an expletive that you usually bleep out. Like, yeah, you're not in charge. Like, you're going to have to tell your kid, hey, this is what that word means, or hey, this is what alcohol can do, or whatever the lesson may be in that moment. So, yeah, I think there was probably a surprise opportunity for some parents that afternoon in the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Okay, we're having a conversation.
It's a great conversation piece. It's a great learning experience. It's a great way to be a parent and step up. But I know a lot of people don't like to do that. You know, they're afraid or whatever to have these kinds of conversations. Or, you know, every once in a while on the text line, somebody will say something. They say, my kid's in the car. I don't care. You know, we're an adult show.
Sorry.
I mean, you know, like we're not made for children. We're not rated G or anything like that, right? And so you have to police your own car. And you can tell your kids what you want them to believe and raise your kids the right way. And your kids will end up being a representative of you. I mean, my daughter's boss sent me a nice text about her yesterday about how wonderful she is at work and how she makes the place better. I'm like, I wish she did that at home. I kid, because the kids are always better on the outside.
Of course.
But you know you raise them the right way
when
you're getting messages like that. And they're telling you how great your child is. That's a direct reflection on you as a parent. And so you can take these opportunities to parent your children and say, yes, this is what happened. And this is why we don't steal. This is a good lesson for you to know this guy was doing bad things and they're going to come after him. And so I thought it was hysterical yesterday watching this guy get escorted out of Chuck E. Cheese. And I start thinking about Chiefsaholic and him and that guy spending time together in the pokey, man. I think it'd be great for those two.
Yeah, it was the constant highlight reel of new Chuck E. Cheese clips. You know, him dancing to rap TikToks in the dressing room at his Chuck E. Cheese. I'm like, oh my God, you're getting ready to entertain the 6-year-old birthday party dancing to Young Thug. But I thought it was just hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic yesterday.
It's like the second time he's done that too.
Yeah,
the thievery.
Yeah,
if you will.
Oh, I think there were like 13 different things that he's done. Like it's been a pattern. You know, it wasn't the one time where they got him. It was like a pattern of stuff. And all of a sudden they showed up at Chuck E. Cheese. And, you know, they're taking this dude away. But I mean, it was the story of the day yesterday on the internet. Like everybody's talking about Hulk Hogan dying and then the Chuck E. Cheese rat robbing people. I mean, it's just a crazy world in which we live. All right, Royals have a big one this week. weekend against against Cleveland. And here's one quick take on this series. This is why baseball has an issue for a lot of fans. Where are you watching the games this weekend? Do you know where you're watching the Royals games? You can listen to every game here on 96.5 The Fan and on the Odyssey app. Just make it easy on yourself. But this is one of those weekends where baseball fans go, what am I supposed to do? Tonight it's Apple TV. Tomorrow it's Big Fox. And then on Sunday, it's the local broadcast. It's the FanDuel Sports Networks. And so in order to watch the Royals and Indians this weekend, which is a big, big, big series and could determine where the Royals go for the rest of the year, right? They're three games under 500. You need to sweep just to get back to 500. And so everybody knows this week coming out of the All-Star break, these 9-10 games out of the All-Star break, we're kind of going to determine what the Royals were going to do from an add versus sell standpoint. These are three big games. You have to go out there and sweep this series against Cleveland. You have to go out there and take care of business against these guys. They're you know, neck and neck with you in the standings. They're a team that you need to be better than if you're going to be competitive for a wild card spot. So, like, it's not wrong to say this is almost a playoff series, you know, for the Royals. And it is going to determine the rest of the season. If they go out there and they fall on their face and they lose three games to Cleveland, then they're six under 500 on Monday and nobody wants that. And then you're going to be definitely 100%, not just in Lugo sell mode, but also in sell mode potentially for other guys in your organization and that are on your roster. And so that's something that the Royals really, 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 really need to think about as they approach this series. It's the biggest series of the year for this organization. And in the locker room on Wednesday, they were talking to Lugo, you know, about potentially trading him and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Vinny's in there saying, we want him here, we want him here. And they know it's up to them. They know that they have to go out there and play good baseball and win games in order for this team to stay together. And so that's kind of hanging over their heads, if you will, this weekend as they get ready to face Cleveland. It's a big three-game series for the Royals. And I think anything less than a sweep is uncivilized, as they used to say. And then you're going to have to start paring things down.
Well, what about two out of three? Just two out of three consistently. I know we've heard.
It's not good enough. Because it's not good enough anymore. It's good enough early in the season. You have to start sweeping series. You put yourself in a hole. You win two out of three against Cleveland, you're still under 500.
Yeah. You are for the next, and if you do that two more times, then you're not. But I understand if you did it just one time, you'd be even closer. No, I get where you're coming from. I just think, I've heard most people say that this, a winning streak is needed. I was just seeing if there was any wiggle room. Yeah. I do agree with what you're saying, though, because if you look at the schedule, too, a lot of it's NL teams for the next couple weeks, so even getting those sweeps, winning those two out of threes, you're not gaining as much ground as you would be if it were the AL. So you really, even more so, kind of have put pressure on yourself if you're the Royals to win these games.
Yeah, I mean, you've made this hole right now from where you are. And so, like, every game is magnified now as we look at, like, 60 games to go, you know, for the rest of the season. It's a sprint to the finish line right now. This is not the second half of lollygagging around and you've got time. There's no time anymore, right? Like, time is not of the essence. You know, we've got to move. We've got to sprint. We've got to say, okay, you know, we had the first 100 games of this season. You could afford to make mistakes and whatnot, and you did. But you made those mistakes early. You now can't afford to make those mistakes. You can't afford to lose these games that are out there. And again, if you want to be a playoff team, you have to be a legit playoff team. You can't win two out of three or one out of three or, you know, sweep a or lose a series and get swept or something like that. You got to go out there and control the narrative right now. And that's what playoff teams do. They'll show us if they're a playoff team this weekend. They go out there and they take three from Cleveland. Hey, that's a playoff team that we can start talking about now. Now you've put yourself in the mix. And so until you put yourself in the mix, you're not considered a playoff team. And sometimes I think what you're doing right there is what I hope the organization isn't doing too. And that's a little false hope of where this team is, because there are still a lot of teams to climb over. There's still a lot of teams that you need to pass in the standings just to get back into that wild card conversation. And sometimes we let that games behind number kind of blur where this team is or where your team is in the standings. And you have to look at it and go, okay, yeah, they may be 4.5 behind the wild card or whatever the hell it is. How many teams do they need to jump before they get into that wild card position? And for the Royals, it's quite a bit. It's quite a few teams that they still need to jump to get into that wild card spot. But it's all on them, man. It all starts tonight for them. And they have a great opportunity to go out against the team that's ahead of them in the standings. And they have an opportunity to go out there and you know, show some people that, hey, we are a playoff team. We do have the opportunity to go out there and compete in the postseason. A lot of smoke yesterday about Seth Lugo. We talked about trade yesterday that I came up with of sending Seth Lugo to the Mets or to the Mets, to the Red Sox for Jaron Duran. And that took off a little bit yesterday, too. A lot of people started linking him here to Kansas City. Thank you for listening to all of those folks who are linking him here now to the Kansas City Royals. But another place where he's been linked a lot has been to the Mets. And we found this podcast yesterday from Sportsnet New York, which is the Mets flagship station, talking about the possibilities of them adding Seth Lugo into the mix.
Can get it done. He's a playoff caliber pitcher. I think that the line there in the American League is Cleveland, where they are in the wild card race. They've played themselves into it over the last few weeks, even after that long losing streak. I don't know if Kansas City's done enough. We've got a few more days here, so we'll see. But I'll tell you what, he was a wily veteran, Seth Lugo, in the locker room afterwards. I was trying to get it out of him, and he's just kept on saying, I want to stay here. I want to win here. Vinny Pasquantina was looking over and pointing at his locker. I want that guy in Royal Blue next week. I want him in Royal Blue. But he did say it's up to us. They've got to get to 500 or better by next week, I think, for JJ to think that way. But this guy is going to be a free agent more than likely. I just feel like you could get something for him. So I think he's more likely gone than not.
That's Jesse Rogers of ESPN talking about the possibilities of trading Seth Lugo and where he could potentially end up, and touched on a lot of different things there, some of which we touched on as well. You've got to be 500 by the time Sunday rolls around or Monday rolls around for this organization to be even in consider buy mode right now. But I also think, too, that regardless of what you do this weekend against Cleveland should not determine what you do with Seth Lugo. I think the right thing to do, the smart thing to do, the best thing to do for both the current day and the future of the organization is to trade Seth Lugo. I think that is the most sensical move that the Royals can make. You're not really hurting yourself right now, because I want you to ask this question. Do you think this is a World Series team right now with Seth Lugo on the roster?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
No. Do you think this is a potential playoff team with Seth Lugo on the roster?
Yeah.
You're not even sure about that, right?
Yeah, potentially.
Potentially, right?
Yeah, potentially.
And so potentially, right? You're not 100% sure about that, right?
No.
That's why you make the move,
yeah.
Right there. That's
yep.
why you make that move, because I think with Seth Lugo, you sell regardless, because I do not believe that this is a team capable of winning the World Series as is right now. They don't have enough offense to get it done. Even though pitching dominates in the postseason, I don't know that the Royals right now have enough offense to get to the postseason with Seth Lugo, right? They are capable of making the playoffs without Lugo, but they're not capable of winning a title with Seth Lugo, because they still need more offense on this team. And they really, what they want to do, what the Royals want to do in a perfect world, which I think we'd all like to live in, is they want to set their organization up to be a team that's never under 500, that's never going to be behind the eight ball. And the way that you do that is constantly making those moves throughout the course of seasons that set you up for the future. We talk about it all the time with Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs and the way that they go about, you know, picking draft picks. They always draft somebody. You go, why do we have this guy drafted? He doesn't need to be on this team right now. And then you realize it's a fill for the following season, and you're always thinking about today with an eye on tomorrow. And that's where I look at Seth Lugo right now. Yeah, you can think about today with Seth Lugo, but you should have a bigger eye on tomorrow. And what can Seth Lugo do for us as he continues to pitch at a dominating level, a playoff level here in Kansas City? We can flip him. We can get a bat. We can make our organization better going forward. And so I think right now that's the best opportunity for this team. And a lot of people around baseball are clamoring for Seth Lugo, whether it be the Mets, whether it be the Red Sox, whether it be the Cubs. I saw obviously in the mix a little bit for Seth Lugo yesterday. There are teams out there that are going to make offers for Seth Lugo. I think this is a great spot for JJ to be in. I think this is a better trade chip than they had when they had Aroldis Chapman and they were able to go back and get Cole Reagans in return.
Wow.
You know, and this guy, Seth Lugo, he's the workhorse for a lot of teams. Like, if you're a playoff team right now, you should have been on the phone already with the Royals saying, what do we need to do to add Seth Lugo in? Because I think any team that adds Seth Lugo into their rotation that is a postseason contender right now gets extremely better. And the Royals are in a great spot where they can just sit back and look for the best offer out there. This is a really good position for the Royals to be in. Now, I hope they don't demand that they have to have a corner outfield bat in return for Seth Lugo. Then you are hurting what you want to do and what you want to get done out there, because the Royals did that years ago in the Nathan Perez, Jermaine Dye trade. They said they needed to get a starting shortstop back in return. Everybody knew what they wanted to give, hence Nathan Perez was the best offer that they had out there. So I think if you're the Royals, I know the word on the street is they want to get a controllable bat back in return, but that also can't be the end-all, be-all that you want to get back in return. You have to go out there and look for the best offers out there that are going to set your organization up for future success. And that's what you have the opportunity to do with Seth Lugo. That's how you have to use your players. You have to use them as collateral. And I know a lot of times people don't like to kind of talk like that and look at players as their pieces to a puzzle and whatnot. They're human beings and they're players, and I understand all that. But they're also assets that you can use. How are you going to best use this Seth Lugo asset that you have at your disposal right now? And I think the best way to utilize him is to send him somewhere else and get pieces back in return that can help you sustain your ball club and make it better moving forward.
And it's the way you make steps forward as a smaller market team in Major League Baseball. You've got to use your assets to your advantage. Yep. You don't have the cash. You don't have the pockets, the deep pockets that New York or Boston or LA do to just go say, hey, we'll wait a couple months and then we'll just go pay Seth Lugo a bag, or we'll go get this guy, we'll trade for this guy, whatever it may be. You've got to use your assets. You've got to draft well, and you've got to be on a timeline that makes sense with what you have at your disposal. And at our disposal here in Kansas City, it's Bobby Witt Jr., who's 24, 25 years old. Seth Lugo's, we talked about it yesterday, 36, 35 or 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You got Chris Bubich. You've got Noah Cameron. You've got starting pitchers who fit this timeline who are just absolute dynamite when they're hot on the mound. So I think we talked about it yesterday, man. It's sell high. This is a sell high moment.
It
you've
got
to capitalize. Yeah. Because
you
talked about it yesterday, and like you said, it erupted around baseball world yesterday, just as far as Seth Lugo. He's a hot button topic, and a lot of teams want him. You brought up that Mets podcast, man. They think he's a high value option.
Yeah, they really do. I think that this is a guy that a lot of people in New York even want.
He's been fantastic. Obviously, was a Cy Young candidate last year, and another good season with Kansas City. They're one of those teams that is just on the bubble. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? But if he is available, I would be very interested in Seth Lugo, because I think he provides exactly what the Mets need in the rotation, which is floor and innings. And so if Seth Lugo is available, I don't think he's off the table for the Mets at all. And I would be personally very interested in bringing him back and letting him kind of fulfill what he always wanted, which was be a starter for the Mets.
He seems to be the number one trade target out there right now.
Seriously.
In Major League Baseball.
Awesome.
I mean, he really does. I mean, I know Naylor got traded yesterday overnight from Arizona to Seattle, and
that's
they
a
get
one.
A first. That's a huge trade for Seattle. I mean, that's a big move. That's a big move for Seattle. Seattle's like, all right, we're ready to go. We're ready to win this division. We're going to go out there and we're going to unload our arsenal, and we're going to go get Josh Naylor. That's a big move. That's just the kind of the tipping point of moves that I think we're going to see. I think Suarez still gets moved out of Arizona as well. He'll probably end up with the Yankees. They'll trade their whole franchise to make sure that they get him, and he's playing third base for them. But I think right now Seth Lugo is the hottest name out there, the most coveted name out there, because I do believe he is the best available starting pitcher on the market right now. And when you have that opportunity and you're holding that lottery ticket, which I think the Royals are, you have to go out there and sell. And it kind of reminds you when you're like, crypto is really hot, right? Get in, get out really fast, right?
Yep.
You're holding a good stock right now. You have Amazon in the early days, sell it, get out. You know, you've made your investment, cash in, and, you know, take your money and run. That's the way that you have to look at this. The Royals have already got everything they needed out of Seth Lugo. He's done a great job here in Kansas City. He's been an amazing pitcher, amazing leader of this rotation and everything right now. He's stabilized things here in Kansas City, but now he has an opportunity to do even more for you. I mean, look at what the Zach Greinke trade brought you back in return. Not that Lugo's going to bring you back your entire roster, but right now, if the Royals have 10 minor league players that are worthy of anything, you know, of prospect status, I think that would be a lot right now. I think their minor league system needs help. Their major league team needs help. And if one player can bring you all of that back in return, there's really no need to keep him around. And I still maintain if Seth Lugo is not traded, I do think the Royals have made a major mistake in that, because you have the opportunity to truly flip this ball club and get some pieces back and players back and an opportunity to move forward and do some really really good things. And it's also not an admission that the season is over if you trade Seth Lugo. It means you're trying to get better as an overall organization. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we need your help with some of these over-unders that they have listed for the Chiefs, because there's one out there that has a lot of people scratching their heads. We'll tell you what it is next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan. Dusty off for the week. Mac is in as well here on 96.5 The Fan. Got a big weekend coming up. Your friends are rolling in town this morning, and you're gonna disappear and play in the rain, huh? That's what you guys are going to do this weekend.
That's what we're going to do, baby.
Going to have a lot of fun this weekend. What do you have planned? Is there any museums on the docket?
No museums
no?
on the docket.
No, okay, all right. I figured maybe you take them to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and show them one of the great,
cool.
great museums. They're up for the best museum in the country right now,
yeah,
I think, on USA
yes,
Today. And so... you could take them down there, take them to the World War One Museum is always a great time.
Nelson Atkins, I love
fantastic.
Nelson Atkins.
If you want to go look at the art down there, it'd be outstanding. We got a lot of really good museums here in
Seriously.
Kansas City. And,
it's underrated.
You know, I've been talking to a lot of people, obviously, you know, in the city over the last year or so about what's going on with the stadiums and stuff. And you start to talk about some of the great things that we have here as you know, businesses are being recruited to Kansas City, whether it be, you know, Panasonic out in DeSoto and, you know, some of the other stuff that's, you know, coming on board. Fiserv is coming on board, obviously, now. They're going to be at the new Royals Complex at 119th and all, so that'll be kind of cool as then one of the main tenants down there for the Royals when all that gets, you know, straightened out and all said and done. And they're moving a lot of people here, and people want to know, what do we do here in Kansas City? You know, the Panasonic plant is moving in. I heard this story the other day. 250 families from Japan who have never been,
wow.
you know, to the United States before. They're getting transferred over here.
That's cool.
To work at the Panasonic plant in DeSoto, Kansas.
I Damn.
Mean, so, you know, they have to learn the lifestyle of America right now, too. So they're teaching, you know, the lifestyle of America to all these families that are moving over here. And so
eat, watch TV, sleep. I mean, thank you. Football starts right. pretty soon. So
yeah.
you'll get it. You'll catch on.
So we're moving a lot of people. I think there are 2,000 people moving in for the Fiserv job. For the Fiserv company as well.
Yep.
And there's so many other, you know, companies that are kind of coming on board and building these, you know, these headquarters and whatnot, you know, in the area right now. And so they're, you know, I'm talking to all these people about what's to do in Kansas City and the Nelson Atkins, man, it's a big draw for people to kind of move their companies here. You know, what do we have for our residents? If we were to relocate here to Kansas City, what do we have, you know, for our people to do? And that's why sports is so important. Like, we're not getting, you know, Fiserv moving here or Panasonic moving here if we don't have the Royals and Chiefs
for
and
sure.
Sporting and the Current and all of that. People want good quality of lives when they look to relocate their companies or to, you know, form corporate headquarters or move businesses here or whatever the case may be. You've got to have those activities, you know, for people to do. And that's why the Royals and Chiefs are so important, regardless of what side of the state line they're on, to have them in our area. It is a big draw. Otherwise,
Huge.
You know, you're Omaha or Des Moines, nothing against them, but they're not big league cities. I mean, there's only 31 other places. You know, you got 32 NFL teams. You've got what, 30 NFL markets. So there's only 29 other markets really that can go out there and say, hey, we're an NFL market. We're an NFL city. Bring your company here. And that's a big quality of life thing, you know, that we have going for us right now, and having the World Cup coming in next year. And, you know, obviously the new airport was the reason, you know, why we were able to get the World Cup, or one of the biggest reasons why we were able to get the World Cup. If we don't have the new terminal, we're not getting the World Cup here in Kansas City. So, long story short, there's a lot to do with your friends if you're looking for something to do this weekend. And there's plenty to do, especially if it rains out there. So
I know. I hope the Royals night game Saturday stays clear, because that's our plan Saturday night. And then we'll head to a casino and, I don't know, just play some blackjack and gamble. But yeah, and then Flo Rida Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to get low.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
You know, those concerts tend not to be very long after the game. You know, they kind of play the hits and move on. That's what everybody wants to hear anyway, right? You know,
yes.
You want to hear the hits and you want to be you want to be done with it. And I love that they have those concerts after the game. I think they're
great.
A lot of fun for a lot of people. So, all right, let's talk a little over-under when it comes to the AFC West, because this list came out yesterday. The over-unders on on wins, of division wins for every team in the NFL. And these are brought to you by betonline.ag. And that's AG for those scoring at home. The Kansas City Chiefs right now have an over-under of 4 when it comes to divisional wins. And immediately yesterday, Spector goes, I'm out, staying away from that one. And I'm like, why? He goes, I want the hook on there, because 4, essentially, you're investing in these future bets. And this is the way he looked at it. I'm like, it's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah,
he goes,
I like this.
I'm essentially investing a 5-month bet, and I could end up tying at the end, and that stinks. He goes, I'd rather lose than tie. At least there's some of that rush of adrenaline that you're going to get. He goes, I don't like the fact that there's not a hook on that at like either 3.5 or 4.5, you know, for when it comes to divisional wins, because 4 seems like a really good number for the Kansas City Chiefs when it comes to divisional wins this year, because you're going to have week 18. They're probably not going to be playing for something, right?
So there's one.
There's one right there. And somebody may get them along the way.
For
right?
sure.
So it may happen this year. The teams are I saw a lot of Raider love yesterday, too, just after we talked about that, shockingly again. You know, a lot of people were saying,
coincidence?
I said, I'm kind of scared about what's going on. I don't like the vibe that's going on out there in Vegas. And saw a lot of that yesterday, too. Oh, it looks good out here in L.A. or Vegas or wherever the hell they're having training camp. And so there is a team. It happens a lot, to the best of them. Even when the Patriots were running their dynasty, sometimes a team steps up and gets you. And so if you think somebody's going to get them in the division, which is very possible this year, and then you think they're going to lose week 18 because, well, hey, they're not going to be playing anybody in week 18, then that's your 4 wins right there. And so if you bet the over and you hit 4, well, then you lose. It's a push. You know, you don't get anything out of that. It's a tie. And you're like, okay, you get your money back. But, you know, that those are the breaks with that. So 4, I think that's a really good number.
I think it's likely
right now for the Chiefs. I think that is a very likely number. I would hit the over on that because I do believe that this is a possessed team this year and you can't stop somebody that is possessed. So I would bet the over on that. But I think that number 4 is really, really tricky. I don't know that you get a lot of money on a number like that after having that conversation with Spector. If that's 4.5, you probably get a lot of people betting on the under, you know, on that, because they think 4 is going to be the number. But if you think 4 is going to be the number, then are you really going to invest money just to push at the end and get your money back, you know?
I think 4 is the number. I think, honestly, I could more easily convince myself that it's the under, just because I go, you said week 18, all right, so there's 1. Week 1 in Brazil, super weird. That could be 2. Right off the bat, you start with 1, you end with 1. Right there in the middle, you just need another. The Broncos, you play twice there in the middle of the season, who we've talked about, maybe the best defense in the NFL, so it would be plausible that they get a win, but I'm not betting the Chiefs go 500 in the division either.
Right.
That hasn't happened really maybe ever in the Andy Reid era, especially in the Patrick Mahomes era. So, yeah, I think 4-2's it. It's the second highest total for division. You got the Ravens and the Bills both at 4.5. But, yeah, most everyone else as far as leading their division is 4 wins. Houston there at 3.5.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. That kind of tells me maybe we're overestimating Houston.
Maybe a little bit. But also, that's a good number, too, though. 3.5 is good, because I would take the over on that. You would probably take the under on that, right? And so,
yeah, I'd have to think about it.
Right? And so that they win right there.
Las Vegas is very much won.
Because we just got money on both sides, right? You're going to take the under. I'm going to take the over. And here we sit. And Vegas goes, well, we don't care what happens because we got money coming in on both sides. So we win at the end of the day. That's why that hook, that 3.5, 4.5 number, I think is so big. And you probably get more money on that. And you start to look around the rest of the division. Denver with an over-under of 3, Chargers with 3, and then the Raiders come in at 2 with their over-under number as divisional wins this year. So they're not expecting a whole lot out of the Raiders this year, but Denver being the second-best team in the division, I think, is obviously where we go with that. Then you got the Chargers, then you've got the Raiders kind of in that order. So the number of 4, it's very interesting. I don't know whether you're going to take the over-under on that, but I would pound the over because I do think this is a team that is possessed, and they're going to come gunning for everybody and their brother this year.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say, on the flip side, you mentioned the Raiders at last there with 2 wins on the over-under. Kind of the flip logic of the Chiefs, they get that free win in week 18,
right?
Theoretically, they're already at 1. We both think they're really feisty and going to give people some trouble.
Right.
And maybe be that like super fun 6 or 7 win team that's like, dude, have you seen their losses? They lost by 3 to the Lions. They lost by 5 to this team. Like,
right.
They're going to maybe get 1 or 2 guys, and especially you're talking about division rivals, you know each other more, that the intensity for that matchup is elevated. I kind of like the Raiders over number there from two.
Okay. And I don't hate it. I wouldn't be surprised if they overtook the Chargers in the standings this year. Yeah. Like that doesn't surprise me.
Neither.
I guess you and I have had that conversation this week. About the Chargers right about now. Right?
Yep.
I'm not really in on them. Nothing really impresses me, you know, with them. And the quarterback is allegedly good. I'm told so by the ESPN, you know, family of network ball washers for the quarterbacks in this league. But, you know, he's a quarterback in this league. I don't view him as one of the best in the NFL. I do view Pete Carroll as a really good football coach, and he's changed that attitude. I mean, the Raiders made a big move yesterday, cutting one of their biggest investments that they had last offseason and moved on from that. He's kind of changing the attitude there. It seems like he's changing the culture there, you know, in Las Vegas, which they needed. They needed somebody to come in and be a positive influence on that team. And Pete Carroll has already done that. I mean, you can just see that the Raiders are going to be a better team because they have an adult in the room right now. And so that's why I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to beat the Chargers, if they split with the Chargers this year. Hell, they could split with the Broncos this year.
Yep.
Because,
yep,
again, as much as I like Bo Nix, who's he throwing to again?
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Like, I mean, I don't know who his weapons are, you know, out there in Denver. So every team in this division has a big question mark, I think, surrounding them, with the exception of our team here in Kansas City. Coming up, Andy Reid had something to say about Travis Kelce that everybody's going to want to hear next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.